You're listening to KETR's Locker Room, the one and only podcast, sports podcast for Northeast Texas. I'm Cooper Welch here with my fellow hosts, Taylor Phelps and Ryan Billups. This is a new Friday segment for our show. Welcome. We're glad to have you. First, we're going to talk a little bit about the Mavericks and what they did or didn't do at the trade deadline. Then we'll move on to Derrick Rose, maybe coming back to basketball. We'll talk a little Michael Jordan, finish that off from last week. Kobe is guaranteed a playoff spot for the Lakers, and we'll also talk biggest winners and losers of the trade deadline, as well as sum up Jerry Buss's legacy with the Lakers. All right, guys, so let's get started. First, the Mavericks. What did they do at the trade deadline?
Well, it kind of surprised everybody, actually. Most people thought that the Mavericks weren't going to make a trade at all. They ended up trading Dante Jones. I don't know, Dante maybe got 3 or 4 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Just kind of a defensive specialist, never really found his role in the lineup.
Right.
And they traded him for Anthony Morrow. He's a player from Atlanta. He is a three-point specialist. Don't expect anything else from him. He is a three-point shooter, and that's what you're going to get.
I think 40-something percent per game.
I mean, he's ninth all-time in three-point percentage. I think the minimum the minimum's like 253. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of three-pointers taken. He does go over the minimum amount, so that's why no one considers him one of the greats of all time, because he doesn't play a lot. He doesn't take a lot.
That's
true. Of the ones he's taken, he's ninth all-time in three-point percentage, which is pretty cool.
5.2 points per game right now, but 11.5 over a career, so maybe we'll see.
I mean, compared to Dante Jones, was averaging 2.3.
Well, and he was Anthony Morrow was only playing 3 or 4 or 5 minutes in Atlanta, so he just wasn't in their rotation. So if he can find his way into Carlisle's rotation, he can hit the shot. I mean, that's not a problem, so...
And they need someone, I think, as a person who's going to take a spot in the rotation.
And he can score. I mean, he had a 42-point game last year where I think he shot like 8 of 11 from three.
Yeah, he's kind of an under the radar kind of guy that we snuck up and grabbed. I don't think Dante was anywhere near the future or anything like that, so I think it was a good pickup.
I like the move, and I heard Cuban on the radio earlier today. He was talking about possibly even running a two-man game with Dirk and Morrow.
That could work.
Because you just can't leave Morrow. If you leave him, he's going to hit the shot.
You can't leave Dirk either.
And you can't leave Dirk. So,
I
don't know how his penetration ability is, though, either.
And that was one thing Cuban talked about, is he's 50% from the field, too. Like, he's not just a three. I mean, he can hit those mid-range shots just as well. So, it'll be interesting to see.
Well, maybe we'll keep him, and that way we'll have more cap room letting OJ go, because you know OJ is going to be expensive after the season's over.
That's very true.
So he might be the answer to replace OJ.
Right. We'll talk more Anthony Morrow in a little bit. But.
Yeah, I think we'll get into the Anthony Morrow situation and what it could mean.
But I love it for more than one reason, for sure. So.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk some winners and losers of the trade deadline. What else happened this week? We saw J.J. Redick get traded back to the Milwaukee Bucks where he started off. Not really anything else that big. Ronnie Brewer went to the Thunder. That's a good move for the Thunder, but not really a superstar headline like we were expecting, like Josh Smith to the Spurs or Dwight Howard getting traded or Kobe.
I think Redick went to the worst possible place, too, out of the places he could have gone. I really wanted, and not being a Spurs fan, I would have liked to see JJ in a Spurs uniform.
I think he
would have... His shooting ability so well, I think he can help anyone out that is right on the cusp of winning a championship.
Right.
I also thought he might be going to the Lakers. The Lakers could use shooting.
And he's an underrated defender,
spread the
too.
Floor
he's
kind
not
of guy.
Just a shooter.
No. He's a good overall player. He's smart, makes smart decisions.
From what I've read on the Bucks' plan for Redick, is they actually want to cut Monta Ellis's minutes almost completely and start playing him in that position, which is a little surprising for me, because even with the Magic, and they're, you know, a very cut-up team, they don't really have much right now.
No, not at all.
Redick's not really starting, you know.
I think Redick there is still thought of as the kid he came in as, and hasn't really been appreciated as much as he has been. And he's had normal, adequate minutes ever since he's been there, never been really in a starting role that it was like a dominant player in his position. So even though I don't think he's ever going to be an all-star or anything, I think he can contribute to teams more than what the Orlando Magic have used him for.
Right.
But if we look at another trade, let's look at Portland getting Eric Maynor from Oklahoma City. That was a big one, huge win for the Blazers. It helps out the Oklahoma City Thunder with a $2.2 million trade exception, so it's going to help them in a salary cap with the luxury tax and them still having Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant in their lineups. But they also got Ronnie Brewer.
Right.
Oklahoma City got Ronnie Brewer from New York, so I think Ronnie will help them in their problem, some of the problems they have and deficiencies they have in their offense.
Yeah, Ronnie Brewer definitely fills a hole for the Thunder, and very cheaply too. They just sent a second round pick for him,
yeah.
Which is you don't want to give up a second round pick, but
if you're going to get someone that's guaranteed production,
yeah, guaranteed that, production that, and that under helps. Contract too,
yes.
So Ronnie Brewer, I think, was a great move for the Thunder. I'm always super impressed by Sam Presti, who was a Spurs assistant general manager before he went to the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we see the great front office.
He's done a great job. I mean, look at the drafts he's had. He's built that team just off drafts alone. Yeah. So.
And the last two ones to mention, I think the biggest win was Boston getting Jordan Crawford.
Okay.
I think them getting him from Washington and only giving up Leandro Barbosa and Jason Collins – that's a huge.
Are you surprised Boston didn't deal more of their players away, like a Rondo
like Kevin
or Garnett or even Pierce has talked about?
I hate how they shop around Rondo because I think that's the dumbest thing they can do. I think Rondo is elite. I think in the Eastern Conference, he's the best point guard, and that's with Darren Williams in the conference. I think he's the best point guard in the conference. I think the only one who eclipses him is Chris Paul.
Okay.
And Chris Paul's the best point guard in basketball. So to shop him around is really not smart because he's about to be in a position where he's not going to have the same players around him and he's going to want to leave because that organization is not loyal to him.
Right, or any of their players, really. I mean, they've shopped him Garnett him.
I mean,
Pierce.
Garnett's older, a lot older than Rondo.
That's true.
Garnett should have been shopped around better. I think Garnett can help a team.
Do you think he should have been traded to like a Clippers team who's... Clippers are like right on the cusp.
But
I don't think the Clippers could have been helped by Garnett because he's...
I think they could have late in the game, especially because I think DeAndre Jordan could have sat the bench late in the game.
Well, I think the problem is you play
two power forwards.
Clippers would have had to have traded like Eric Bledsoe or DeAndre Jordan to get him. And those are two of their young talents. So it was basically future or now is kind of what
they decided
between. Right.
That's true. But I think the Clippers' future while I think it's bright, I think they have their best chance to win championships right now.
Right.
I think that having KG and Blake Griffin would help you tremendously.
KG just adds
toughness. If you think you're going to make the finals,
right,
and which they could with their post game, they have the best post game besides maybe the Spurs, but that's just Tim Duncan.
And
Tim Duncan.
Tiago Splitter.
And Tiago Splitter's good too,
yeah.
Underrated. But the Thunder don't have that. They have Ibaka, who's a defensive player, but I don't care. KG can score on Ibaka, just like Dirk could score
on Ibaka.
What about
Perkins, though?
I just think Perkins too slow.
Okay.
I think Perkins is a big body that's a banger. I think he can play with like Bynum. He can guard Bynum. He can guard Dwight, but he can't guard KG when he steps out or KG when he decides to back you down a little bit and hook you or something like that.
Or drive right past you.
Or drive right by you because KG can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things I think that's been a flaw for Oklahoma City when they've played like Blake Griffin. I think Blake Griffin he's kind of developing a Tim Duncan type game, or at least trying to, not doing it as efficiently, but he can get out there and he can face up against Perkins and he can either shoot it or if you play too close, he can get by you. So I think they should have made a move. I think
they had to make a move. I think it was a mistake not to. I don't know what they're willing to give up, not their future for sure.
The thing is they had so many pieces.
They're just not there yet. I mean, did y'all watch the Spurs game last night against the Clippers?
Yes,
I know
they blew them out. Now, the deepest team in basketball.
26-point win.
So they have pieces to move around and trade.
Mm.
I think, though, that they believe that they have it together when I don't think they do.
I think any team in the West, 1-8, could beat the Clippers in a series. I don't think they will. I think the Clippers get out of the first round. I think any team could beat them.
I think they'll get out the first round.
Right. I thought you meant they lost. Okay, I'm good now. I thought you were saying that they lose in the first round. I was like,
No, I think they will get to the second round.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
All right, well, that was quite a bit on that. Let's move on to what this summer could mean. the Dwight Howard sweepstakes. He's becoming a free agent. So is Chris Paul, not as much talked about, but he will be too. So will Al Jefferson and Paul Millsap both from the Utah Jazz. There's a lot, a huge free agency class this upcoming summer. And we've already seen Mark Cuban open up his schedule. And he's not going to film a reality TV series this summer like he did last summer.
He already said those dates are off the limits.
Yes.
Oh, I think he's just hoping to get somebody. He's shopping around right now.
And then you have to look at Dirk Nowitzki is actually a free agent in the 13-14 season, after the 13-14 season. So, I mean, this could be Dirk's last season with the Mavs.
Well, one thing I heard today that was kind of surprising is Cuban said that they shopped some huge names, that they were right on the verge of making blockbuster trades up before the deadline. He said, obviously, he's not going to say who or what team because that's part of the, you know, that's part of their agreement. He wants to keep that privacy between teams so he doesn't mess things up. But they could have this trade deadline made a huge shot. So I think they know something, obviously, that we don't know. They probably know a lot of things we don't know.
Of course. I mean, they're involved with this daily.
I don't think Cuban's just shopping, hoping to find someone. I think he knows exactly what's going to happen and has a pretty good chance at it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I've been an advocate of them all year waiting for free agency.
Right.
Because I think they can snag someone up. I like to think that they could get Al Jefferson. I think Dwight Howard is too unrealistic.
Okay.
I think that he's going to stay in the Lakers. I think he's going to stay in a Lakers uniform. And I think he might stay there for, I think he'll be a lot like Shaq. I really do. I think that he'll stay there for about 6-7 years. I think eventually they'll win a championship. I mean, with him there, they're good enough. They're a good enough organization and a good enough location where they can get the pieces in the spots that they need to win a championship. Right. But Al Jefferson is playing for the Jazz, and it's not like the Jazz have been just a tremendously great basketball team. They've been just mediocre.
Right.
And
for a long time.
And Al Jefferson averages 17.7 points per game this year, 9.4 rebounds, 1.2 blocks. I mean, those are really good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's more points than Dwight Howard is averaging right now. So as point production, we'd have more from the center, and I think that hurts the Mavericks a lot, is not having the point production at the center. And he's a good defensive player. He doesn't get a lot of blocks because he's only 6'10", which is not as tall as Dwight Howard.
Look who Dwight's playing with. He has a lot of people stealing his points. Anytime you play with a Kobe Bryant, you're not getting as many shots up.
Yeah, he does. And Al Jefferson has more, but Paul Millsap also takes some of his shots away. Yeah. I think Paul Millsap's another good one at 7.4 rebounds and one block per game, but he doesn't average as much as Al Jefferson. Al Jefferson gets a lot of cleanup points. He gets a lot of off rebounds, and I think that's what we need with Dirk. When Dirk misses a shot, we need someone to go get the rebound. Brandon Wright's pretty good at that, but he's not going to be as effective as Al Jefferson is.
Definitely, right.
So
what's the chances Dwight comes here? What's the chances
if I'm getting
Mark
a number,
Cuban snags Dwight Howard?
I have about a 20%
chance,
I'd say, about
that's
Dwight
a, that's
Howard
a pretty
coming
good
here.
Okay.
Well, that's good, but that is increased with Anthony Morrow. With Anthony Morrow coming here.
So, Cooper, tell us the Anthony Morrow scoop.
Okay, so the Anthony Morrow scoop that we hinted at earlier, he's supposedly a good friend with Dwight Howard.
Best friends.
Yes, best friends, supposedly. So maybe the Mavericks traded for him just so they'd have a better chance at getting Dwight. Now, there are a few limitations. For one thing, the Mavericks would have to give up his Larry Bird rights to be able to sign Dwight Howard, to have enough money to do that. So they'd have to re-sign him to the veteran minimum or a mid-level exception, something like that, to be able to sign Dwight. So he may honestly be gone after this next 2 months anyway. But if he likes his time here, and if the Mavericks are willing to give him the, and he's willing to take the veteran minimum or the mid-level exception, then I think that could work. I think that could be another thing that Dwight's like, well, you know, a good friend of mine plays there or something like that.
Well, they're seeing too. I think that's why they got him now. They want that for Dwight Howard, but they also want to see his production.
Right.
They want to see, okay, this guy could be a good player regardless of whether we get Dwight Howard or not.
Can he come in and hit the three when we need him to?
Yeah.
Right.
I think Anthony Morrow will be a nice part in the rotation. I think he'll get 15.
Can he be a
15 to 20 minutes?
Can he be
a
Peja Stojković?
Better.
Can he come in and hit those shots? He'll be better than Peja. Because that's exactly what Peja's role was on our team.
Because Peja could.
He would come in and hit that shot.
Peja was old, though. Anthony Morrow can. He can at least play some D.
Yeah, he's only been in the league, what, five
seasons?
He's
only 27 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, It's not like he's been in the league 4 years.
And he's
it's
a
not,
big guy, 6'5", right?
I think so.
Morrow
6'5".
Yeah, Morrow's 6'5", 6'5", 210. So he can hold his own. He's kind of like a Corey Brewer, but a better shooter. When we had Corey Brewer on the Mavericks, but I think he's just a better shooter.
All right, guys. Well, let's move on to some other basketball stuff real quick before we go to a break. We've also got D. Rose is back to 5-on-5 drills. Let's talk just about a minute on Derrick Rose maybe coming back this season.
I mentioned a couple weeks ago that my wild card team for the season was the Bulls.
Okay.
Everybody picked their top fives. I put him kind of as my wild card, could be 1, 2, or 3 spot, kind of depending what happens with D. Rose. Reports are saying D. Rose is back at practice. He's doing 5-on-5 drills. He's pretty much fully participating.
Right.
And so we're just, I guess he's waiting to feel totally comfortable, maybe get back in shape. I think the Chicago team could easily be the second best team in the East.
Okay.
They could, but the East is weak.
Right.
This is great for the Chicago organization. Mm-hmm. This is great for them to see him coming back and getting better.
Mm-hmm. And they did what they needed to do.
But as a team,
they stayed in contention.
But as a team, this is not going to affect their year this year. They're still going to lose. They're still not going to beat the Heat. They're still not able to beat the Heat.
Okay.
The Heat are too good offensively and too good defensively. They're superior in both aspects of the game.
So what changed from this year to last year?
What do you mean?
Between Chicago and the Heat. I mean, people were
last
saying,
year they were more contention because D. Rose had played a whole year. He was a lot more feared. I don't care. Basketball is so much of a flow. Yeah, it's a good wild. It's
never
a good
know
wild card
because D. Rose could come back and play just
but
as good.
But I don't know, and I don't think.
Better.
I think basketball is such a flow.
Look at Adrian Peterson. Who says he doesn't come back
stronger? It's different, though. It's different with Adrian Peterson because Adrian Peterson's playing football. Football is so much of his own explosion and not chemistry between his teammates.
But that's how D. Rose plays. He plays off his own explosion, his own quickness. So this knee thing is bigger.
Yeah, but these guys have not. These guys also have not been playing with D. Rose. It's going to be different. Their spacing on the floor is different. Trust me, they're going to run so many different sets with D. Rose.
I'm not saying it's not going to take a while to get back, but I'm saying by the time playoff time comes around.
But see, that's what I don't know. I don't know if he's going to come back with significant time.
He's going to need to come back in the next few weeks for them to
Without a doubt. He'll have to come back in a few weeks because I think if he's doing this, wait closer to the playoffs.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. And that's stupid, too, because if he comes back then and gets hurt, how smart is that for the organization?
Yeah, I mean, they lose their franchise player.
I think if we don't see Derrick Rose back in the next 2 weeks, we don't see him till
next year. Okay. Well, let's go to a break real quick. We'll come back and talk Jerry Buss like we talked about, the Lakers' playoff chances, the Mavericks' playoff chances. We will be right back in just a moment.
Can't make it to the game? KTR is your exclusive radio station for live coverage, updates, and commentary on A&M Commerce Lions basketball.
A&M Commerce Lions trying to get something rolling here. Fired up. Bad angle over her shoulder, and Devin Oliver gets in the book. Randy Clark right in front and foul. This may tie it. Hard feed down low to Duran, and it's swatted away.
Don't worry. We got you covered at the games. KTR 88.9.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. What do you suppose your waistline and your wallet have in common? Actually, they're more similar than you think. To get physically fit, you need discipline, flexibility, and stamina. And the same goes for your fiscal fitness. And of course, a little advice from us doesn't hurt. Listen to Marketplace Money, and your wallet will thank you.
Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 2 on 88.9 KETR.
All right, we're back. This is KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, and Ryan Billups here. All right, so in this segment, we're very quickly going to mention the now former Lakers owner, Jerry Buss, who died this last week.
Yes, Jerry Buss was great to the organization, won multiple championships with them. He said the reason he wanted to own the Lakers was to beat the Celtics when the Celtics were reigning supreme for 10 years and winning every single championship.
Right.
really emotional to a lot of the players that played for him. Magic Johnson recently cried on the air when talking about him and was consoled by his friends on the air. And so you know he meant a lot to those individual players, and it's really a sad passing for the league.
Yeah, and Jerry Buss changed basketball with the Showtime Lakers in the 70s.
Brought the Showtime Lakers, brought cheerleaders into games, and really changed the way the game was played from an owner standpoint instead of just as a player or, say, commissioner of the league.
Yeah, made it more an entertainment factor than just a
game. Brought entertainment value.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's very quickly talk playoff chances for Kobe guaranteeing a playoff spot for the Lakers, and that he wasn't afraid of anybody in the West.
He said there's not one team he's afraid of.
Let me tell you, I've always admired Kobe Bryant. I love that he says this. I love that he has such confidence in his team. And this is striking fear into the hearts of the rest of the NBA teams.
Okay.
Because this is Kobe Bryant coming out and saying, I'm going to make the playoffs. This is the next clutch player and type of Michael Jordan player. Not saying he's Michael, not saying he's as good, but this is the next closest thing to Michael that we have. Mm-hmm. LeBron is good, but LeBron is more of a Magic Johnson type player, more of a distributor. Okay. Kobe is the cutthroat, I'm going to go out and take it. No one else is going to take it from me type guy. And so this should be something we really fear from Kobe.
And so Michael Jordan said he would take Kobe over LeBron. Who would you take?
I would take... Michael Jordan said that? Michael Jordan said that because he's a winner. Yes, Michael Jordan said that because he's a winner. I'm taking LeBron as my franchise player just because of what LeBron can do. Now I would take Michael over, but I'm looking at Kobe's numbers. not an option, but Kobe's 26.6 points per game, LeBron 27.2. He's got him there. Kobe's 5.6 assists per game, LeBron's 7, he's got him there. And rebounds, Kobe's 5.3, LeBron is 8.2, he's got him there. So,
I mean, I'd obviously take LeBron now because of his age.
Okay, well,
yes. In their primes.
Let's rephrase it. In their primes.
In their primes.
Who would you take?
In their primes. In their primes in the playoffs, I'm going to take Kobe. In their prime for an entire season, I'll take LeBron.
Okay. In the playoffs, I would definitely take Kobe because he has a history of making that shot.
Yes.
And LeBron does not have that history.
No.
He's like 20% on game winning down by 2 or 3.
But that's why I say he's like Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson didn't always take the last shot, but he got the players the ball in the right positions to make them successful, and that's what LeBron does.
All right. Well, so give me a percentage that the Lakers make the playoffs.
I'm going to go with 70% that they make the playoffs.
70%.
They're only four games back, and they have Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard, so how can I go wrong?
I'm going to give them a 30% chance.
30% chance, okay.
they are only four games back. And you see the game between the Celtics, and you see everybody's talking, oh my gosh, Lakers are coming back. They're going to make the playoffs now. I honestly think it was just an emotional win. I think it was a win for Jerry Buss. I don't see the Lakers changing. I don't see their team turning around the second half of the season. I think they finished the way they started.
Okay.
I think Utah will drop and they'll pass Utah. I think Houston will be 7, Lakers 8.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give the Lakers a 20% chance to make the playoffs. I think Houston will move up to 7 or 6. Denver will move down. And Utah will stay at 7 or 8. Although Houston does have 6 of the next 8 games on the road, so that could be a very big determining factor.
That could be the turning
point, yes. But overall,
let's have this conversation again next week.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk next
week.
We'll get back more into that.
Next week, I'll give you a guarantee if the Mavs make the playoffs.
Okay. All right. Then let's talk A&M Commerce basketball because the LSC tournament comes up in just, 2-3 weeks?
Should be 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
two weeks.
So what happened on Wednesday?
Wednesday, both teams lost to Midwestern. It's always tough to win at Midwestern State. The girls were close in the first half. I think they were ahead in the first half by about 10 points ahead in the first half, and they came out the second half, and the women just pressed them, and they just didn't handle the pressure well, and Midwestern took it from them at home. And the men just came out. There was this rough patches, didn't perform the way we wanted to. But the good news is we're both still right there in the mix for the conference championship. I think for the conference tournament, excuse me. I think that both teams are almost guaranteed to make the conference tournament.
Yes, I think guaranteed 6th or 7th.
The men are pretty much guaranteed 6th or 7th. Yeah. They could drop to 8th, but I think if we win a couple out of the next 3, then we'll definitely be in like a 5-6 type spot. The women, I'm not. I think the women are in seventh, but I think they're nicely ahead of the bottom three teams. So I think they're pretty sure to make. And the next two games they have are against teams that are lower than them in the standings. And Cameron is the last place team in the standings.
And that's tomorrow night.
And that's tomorrow night. So both Cameron games tomorrow. They'll be later though. They'll be at 5 and 7 on Saturday because UIL. Girls regionals is going to be here this weekend.
So let's just sum up what's left on the A&M Commerce schedule. We've got Cameron, and then we've got West Texas A&M,
which is the last home game.
Yes, the last home game, and then the very last game of the season is a doubleheader at Eastern New Mexico.
Which is a tough road trip,
right? But they are lower down in the conference standings. I know the women are lower in the conference.
The women
standings.
Are, the men aren't. I think the men are actually like five. I think they're ahead of us by a game, but it's just a game. So, and we beat them here, so we'll see what happens when we go there.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that. Definitely show up tomorrow night for that game against Cameron. It's going to be a really good game. I can almost guarantee it. Just come out, support
always
your Lions. Yes, of course. It's always a great game at the Fieldhouse. Just come out, support your Lions. Let's try to get them into the LSC tournament. All right, let's move on to Rangers. We haven't talked Rangers in a while. It's been at least 2 weeks. Spring training game starts, actually, it started about an hour and a half ago, maybe 2 hours ago, since we are releasing this at 5 o'clock. That's about what time it is right now. So, we don't have the score right now of the Rangers spring training game. We're not watching it while we're recording this. But what do you guys expect from the Rangers this year?
It's a toss-up. I say it's such a toss up with what's going on in their organization, and
I think they will be a good team.
Okay,
I do not think they will be great. I think they'll squeak into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they have the. I don't think they have the rotation to go anywhere in the playoffs.
Okay,
I don't.
Well, I got no hope for them to make the playoffs. Really,
Excuse me. Let's make a just a real quick prediction. Let's say. How many games are we going to win this season?
I'm going to say 87.
87, okay.
Let's see. Last year they went 93-69. Oh. I think they'll go more like 70. I think they'll win more like 70 games.
Wow, okay.
I think they'll drop quite
even
a bit.
With the Astros and
I think last year was a weird year to win 93 games and not win the division.
Right. Okay.
I don't see that happening again. I think 87 wins the
division. But I don't see them in contention to win the division either.
Okay. I'm going to say the Rangers win 85 games and they get the second wild card place.
Okay.
And they lose that wild card game.
Okay.
And again, that happens again.
Okay.
So let's talk what else we have left. We've got very big for the Cowboys. Tony Romo's contract is up after this season. So are we going to restructure his contract right now? Because the Cowboys are actually $20 million over the cap right now, so they need to make some moves. So are they going to do that? Are they going to cut Jay Ratliff for all the crap that he's been pulling recently?
They should.
What do you guys think? Should we re-sign Tony Romo, or should we say this is your last year, same as we're saying for Jason Garrett, if you don't make the playoffs?
I say last year, but I don't think we need to go out and get someone that's already in the league. I think we need to develop someone young. I think we need to do kind of what San Francisco's done, what the Redskins have done, what Indianapolis has done, and we may not get that top pick, but we can get someone to develop for sure.
Right. I think you re-sign him.
Okay.
He's the only reason we have ever had hope as a Cowboys team. He's the only reason that we're ever even there to lose the heartbreaking games.
I think we can easily re-sign him next year if we need to. I don't think it's a pushing thing.
I don't think it has to be necessarily right away.
Right.
I think they need to do it eventually though.
Okay. I think what needs to happen this year is the Cowboys draft a very good quarterback, and this is a weaker class, so none of them are going to be up in the first round. So
exactly.
Let's say Geno Smith is available in the second round. Let's pick him up. Let's do it.
Why not?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to be about it for our show. We want to remind you that we can be found on Twitter at KETR Locker Room, on Facebook, facebook.com/KETR Locker Room, all one word. Our new podcasts come out Tuesdays at 2 and Fridays at 5. Make sure to tune in next week. We're going to have a great guest, so stay tuned. This is KETR's Locker Room.